Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90th Minute Podcast. We are your hosts, Lucas, Greg, Waz, myself, and Matt. He should be here later as well. No Liam, because he can't attend the afternoon podcast when we record, and, you know, scheduling things happen. He has work. Respect to him. We respect Liam. The thick Ginge. Captain Ginge, we should start calling him, right, Greg?
No, we already have a captain.
No.
That's Captain
Anyways, you know what? We need a new captain. Before we get to this podcast, we should just mention really quickly, you know, the flowers are blooming outside. It's springtime. The grass is growing. It's time to chop the weeds. You know, thanks to our sponsors, Manscaped, you can trim your holes safely and efficiently. I'm talking about ball trimmers, Manscaped, you know, the global leaders in men's below the waist grooming, have an exclusive offer for our audience. Use code 90s for 20% off free shipping. That includes international shipping. So anywhere you are in the world, you can use Manscaped products, you know, use code 90th, as I said. Join the other 2 million men who trust Manscaped. They are here to make sure you're trimmed and smelling nice after all. I've used these products. We've used these products. We can guarantee them. They're pretty good. They've worked. They've done the job for me pretty safely. No nicks. You know, as long as you take it slow and steady, you'll be fine. You're not going to cut yourself down there. No bleeding. We don't want that, right?
Slow
we don't want
any mess. The race.
Yeah, we don't want any pain down there, you know? So, yeah, you get the Lawnmower 3.0. It's great. It's got 9,000 RPM motor, powered 360 rotary dual blade system. Look, Liam is better at this than I am, but I'm trying my best, all right? But, yeah, they also have this thing called the Crop Reviver. It's kind of like a ball deodorant. I used it. It smells great. You know, you don't have to bend down like that when you're smelling, but it's great. Trust me. There's also cologne I have back there. It smells great. Basically, all the products are pretty world-class. I would suggest checking them out if you're interested. And remember, use code 90th at checkout. 20% off free shipping. There we go. There you go. There's the sponsor.
Brilliant stuff, Waz. That's what we love to hear.
Yeah.
And other brilliant stuff for City fans is the EFL Cup final happened today. As Manchester City did win 1-0.
Mm-hmm. We did live stream this on our Twitch channel, so, you know, make sure you do check that out if you want to check out more live streams from us and more content. We'll be live streaming the Champions League this week. So this was a big final, you know, a chance for Spurs to finally win a trophy, or a chance for Manchester City to win this trophy once again. And I think we should just rename this cup to the Manchester City Cup, because I think that this is four or five in a row now.
Four in a row now.
And that's five of the last 6 years or something?
Five of the last six, though, I think, yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah, it's just becoming, as we all know, for the past years now, Manchester City are the titan in the English Premier League. And they're proving it with the EFL Cup, which they always keep winning. Going into this game, I think a lot of people wanted Spurs to win, maybe to get their first title, or first cup in a long time. It just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think you put it perfectly. You know, Harry Kane 3 years ago said, in 3 years' time, if I haven't won a few trophies by then, it will be disappointing. And with the, you know, City winning this title, a lot of question marks now surrounding Heung-min's son, Harry Kane. Are they going to be looking for new clubs? Will Spurs be selling? Because these guys deserve trophies. They're world-class footballers. And, yeah.
Yeah, Heung-min Son was crying after the game too.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that after.
Okay,
but like, just into the game, I think we all expected City to dominate.
Yeah, it was a
dominate possession, shots, everything. I think City were just pretty not clinical today, but they were dominating. I thought Mahrez had a great game.
Yeah, he was really.
De Bruyne was coming back from an injury, but at the end, it was a 1-0 victory from Miracle-Port. Who did score in the 82nd minute.
Yeah. Well, the amount of chances City created, you thought maybe like 2-0, 3-0, but I thought, like you said, Riyad Mahrez, he had a fantastic game, especially cutting in on that thing to the right side there, taking on Greg Olan a couple times.
Got to give it to the Spurs defense and Lloris, because honestly, you feel bad for them, because I thought they actually played a good game.
Yeah, but I think how we mentioned on the stream, if anything, the Spurs defense played pretty solid, but the rest of the team just couldn't pick it up. The midfield, especially the attackers. I don't think Spurs created anything, any clear-cut cut opportunities.
Their best chance was definitely the shot by Lo Celso, which was a good save by Zach Steffen.
And to be fair, one of their better players, Hyun Sun,
shot target.
He had a pretty poor game. I mean, I'm not going to talk. We'll talk about the crying incident after, because I thought that was silly.
Yeah, he did have a bad game. Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, and I think there's the one chance Spurs really should have taken advantage of was when Harry Kane was dribbling past players and could have passed it to Højbjerg, who was making a good run. He waited a couple seconds too late, in my opinion, and passed it to him. Then Højbjerg tries to lay it off to Reguilón. I hope I said it right now, unlike the live stream. But he tries to lay it off to him, and instead it just puts too much weight on it and goes out of bounds, and he's yelling at Reguilón for that.
Yeah, it was a mess, but I think the initial part of it should have been Harry Kane should have played it further. Sooner. And Harry Kane, of course, like Kevin De Bruyne, just came coming back from an injury. I think we knew Kevin De Bruyne would play this game, but we very weren't sure if Harry Kane was going to play this game. At least start, and he did start. And I think you could tell he had an injury.
So we get to the incidents after the game?
Yeah, let's talk about the incident after. I'll just give my final thoughts on the match. Just typical City dominating the game with possession. Basically, a Manchester City classic. And credit to them, they deserved to win the Carabao Cup. They were the best team in the tournament, I thought. And, but let's get to the incident that I want to talk about. Heung-min Son crying. Because people thought, I mean, that's just typical in any sport. People like to mock people for crying. Which I completely understand, but think it's a little silly and immature. I mean, to be fair, it's probably younger fans who are mocking him. Because he's crying. Oh, he's crying because he lost the League Cup. It's still a cup final.
I mean,
he's still passionate. He's still emotional.
I think it's just added with what his career has been. He hasn't won a club trophy at all in his career. The only trophy he's won was in an Asian Cup. But that was for the under-23s for Korea, which, granted, that helped him avoid a long military service that would have been required. And he only had to do a shortened service, which he did during quarantine. But I think I don't get why you would attack a player for crying after the game or something like that. I think that just shows that that player really cares and is devastated that they weren't able to fulfill what they wanted to do. And obviously these guys are very passionate about what they do. There's a reason why they're at the top of the football pyramid like they are.
Son's been at his club for a long time now, and he cares. And he knows, like, Spurs are in a bad situation right now. He really wanted to win it for his team.
I would say try to put yourself in his shoes, right? Like, I kind of thought about it, and I looked at him like, well, when I used to play new soccer, whenever I got into, like, a final and we lost, I got kind of emotional. I was pissed off. I was kind of sad. Like, you want to win a trophy. You want to have that medal around your neck, and when you don't win, it sucks. It's a shitty feeling. Like, I know, like, when I was younger, I mean, I lost it was, like, a community league tournament. We lost in the final. I almost cried. I had that feeling of, I'm kind of like, this sucks.
Yeah, I think everyone should be upset.
It doesn't matter what the tournament is.
It does suck, but of course, let's just give a congratulations to Manchester City. I mean, they deserve this victory, and
they do.
Probably not the last trophy. Well, definitely not the last trophy they'll be lifting this season.
Well, speaking of that, though, like, you could tell, like, we always talk about it, that they win the cups all the time, and they just, any other team winning that trophy there would have been going a lot more nuts than Manchester City were.
Yeah,
for
I mean,
sure.
For them, it's like, just let's bring out the family, have a good time.
It's nice to see.
Yeah, it's like a picnic.
I guess that's something we should talk about. Fans were back.
Yeah, that was cool.
Fans back in the stadium. It's good to see that. Like, hopefully it's a stepping stone to get fans back in the stadiums, because they are deeply missed, for sure.
Yeah, if it's safe to do so in the UK, like, I know things are getting better there, so hopefully things continue like that.
Exactly, and it's good to see them winning the cup in front of the fans, and sad for Spurs fans, of course, not winning. But
yeah.
Good to see Sergio Aguero winning another cup, add more to his last year at Manchester City. Fernandinho, it's good for him, too. So.
Shout out Cancelo for grabbing an energy drink at the end of the game.
Yeah, we're talking about how they, on our live stream, we noticed that there was like a Bang energy tub. I don't know if you guys noticed. And like, none of the Spurs players are grabbing an energy drink, or none of the players. And then, you know, Cancelo, out of all players, just took it. Like, fair enough. Yeah, it's like, yeah, sure.
It's funny.
We'll move on to the Premier League. It wasn't too busy of a weekend, but there were some big results that did happen. So we'll go through some important things. I think Chelsea versus West Ham. We did a locker room after this game, and we can give our quick thoughts about it. Overall, I think Chelsea did deserve the victory. They created the better chances. West Ham, especially in the first half, let Chelsea
just take control.
Yeah. And of course, there are some incidents here that are very controversial, but before we get into that, hey, Timo Werner scored.
Yeah, it was a good build-up, I thought. It was a good goal by Chelsea, well-crafted from the midfield, just well-progressed up the pitch. Yeah, I think the main talking point, though, was obviously that red card. But hopefully Timo Werner, like, gives him some confidence to maybe get a couple of goals in the Champions League coming up here.
Well, apparently it didn't give him confidence because he did miss an empty net after that call. It's not a complete empty net, but it was basically an empty net.
It's okay, Timo. It's okay.
Well, I mean, West Ham had some good periods of time, but throughout the game you could tell Lingard was struggling with an injury. They weren't able to break down Chelsea's solid back three, which in defense turned into a back five. Both sides are playing a similar formation, but Chelsea have kept 16 clean sheets in their last 21 matches, which is ridiculous. I mean, I think Thomas Tuchel knew what he had to do when he came here. He just set up a good foundation at the back, and that's been helping Chelsea significantly. They've been winning games by tight margins for the most part, but it's been beneficial for them.
Good teams get wins. Yeah, good team. Like we always say, good teams get wins in bad matches that they play. So
I mean, I wouldn't say bad.
And like you're talking about, no, I'm just saying like in times where they maybe shouldn't have won.
Saying this kind of just deflates my hopes of West Ham getting Champions League.
You were pissed after that game, was you? Trashing West Ham for no reason.
I was just sad because I really want to see a team like West Ham in the Champions League.
I mean,
it still can happen.
It can still happen. It'd be cool if it did, if it was more clear of a pathway. But it's
and if you talk about Champions League, and we were just talking about Spurs too. Spurs aren't that far behind either. Like it is very close for the top four race. In all honesty,
I mean it is.
City are first for sure. United's gonna get second, but then like third to what is it like eighth is very tight.
I'm really shocked that United's still somehow sitting comfortably in second.
But let's talk about the Balbuena red card. Do you think it was harsh?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, was studs up really? No, it was just a it was another bad decision by the officials.
It's just a follow-through.
His studs did hit the player, but, I mean, he clears the ball, his foot is going down, and Chilwell's right there, like.
Maybe it's a red card, but it's also it's like very, very harsh. Like yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe it's just the fact did they check VAR for it?
Yeah,
like,
they checked VAR, and that's why they gave it a red card. The referee had another look.
I'd like to see the rule book, please. I feel like the Premier League sometimes has their own rule book.
Is it maybe it's just because like studs were there, so it has
to be red or studs, red card.
I don't know. I think common sense should be used there because, I mean...
You'd think so.
Like, I don't know. We won't get
unless
into it.
Unless there's something we're not seeing that they saw, but I don't think
it's complete bullshit, Greg.
Well, so how did United do this weekend?
Well, we drew Leeds 0-0.
And that's all
considering what the last result of United, Manchester United and Leeds was, kind of a disappointing
from all
game.
Accounts, it wasn't a pretty game. I mean, it's 0-0. From what I heard, I also saw is Dan James had a pretty bad match, but other than that, maybe that cuts our title hopes.
I think your title hopes were already.
Hey man, it's a 10-point gap. I think we could catch up a City lose to maybe a team.
But I guess in terms of just while you're looking at that, in terms of Leeds, a great result in all honesty.
Yeah.
They beat City, tie United. Tied Liverpool. And yeah, you could say Liverpool's in bad form and everything, but you know what? Some pretty good results.
Yeah. I mean, especially City, because they were down to 10 men.
Yeah, no, it's been, like, they're ninth. They're fighting for Europe
right
now.
Solskjaer did make some questionable decisions. He didn't sub on, like, key players until, like, the final 5 minutes, like Cavani, Van Beek. you're trying to get a goal, you wait till like the 88th minute or so. I'm like, nah, that's no, not for me, Chief.
And the funny thing is, he said before the game, it's not going to be 0-0. I can guarantee it's not going to be 0-0. It's two teams who want to attack and attack as quickly as they can. The game ended 0-0.
Like, I go to Twitter and I type in O or Ole. First thing is hashtag Ole out. I still don't know how people want this man out. You're second in the league. You're second in the league.
God, you're second in the league and you're in the Europa League semifinals. I think you're doing pretty
it's
good.
It's not terrible. Yes, we balled the Champions League. Okay. But that was a tough group, and that's on us. That's on the players. The players understood that they messed up, and rightfully so. And like, I see this tweet. It's like, when the new owners come in, these three need to go. We're not going to win titles with these scrubs. It's Carrick, Solskjaer, and I forget what his name is. But
I'm not a Manchester United fan. I think they're having a pretty good season, yeah. Honestly.
We draw one game 0-0. Get him out of the club. He's terrible. Like, this is probably one of the better seasons the sides had in how many seasons?
Yeah,
Mourinho got a second.
I mean,
okay.
They're getting second when City is just, like, very good. They're just back to the very good City team, so.
And if you look on paper, you guys are drawing a lot of matches, which isn't ideal, but, I mean.
Getting a draw is better than a loss.
Second Europa League? Okay, not bad. I know it's not the Manchester United standard, but the standard has kind of dropped in the last couple seasons since Ferguson left, okay?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's move back to Leeds.
Back to Leeds. They're ahead of Arsenal. This is a team that just got promoted. I don't know Arsenal's shit, but well done to Leeds.
Yeah, well
if
done.
If they can get Europe, that'd be fantastic.
I don't think they're going to get Europe, Greg. I think they're going to finish ninth at most.
They're only six points behind. So
I mean, that's still a lot with five games left. But speaking of Arsenal, there was a lot of fan protests outside of Arsenal before their game against Everton. Kroenke out. Huge Super League fallout. We'll talk more about the fallout in later in the podcast, hopefully. And we'll give our final thoughts about everything. But Arsenal, they lost to probably one of the most embarrassing goals I've seen. A Bernd Leno own goal. I don't know what to say about this one, boys.
It's just... I don't have much to say either. I think this game was just two bad informed bad teams going at it, and that's the one goal in the game.
And Ricarlison just celebrated like he won, did it all by himself.
Yeah, That's honestly, I don't have much else to say in that match. I didn't watch the game, but like,
yeah, I mean,
that's just what it seems like.
I mean, Arsenal fans pissed off with what's happening upstairs at the club, pissed off with what's happening on the pitch. They do have a Europa League semifinal, which is very important because they could potentially make it to the Champions League if they win that tournament. But they do play their former manager Unai Emery.
Exactly. So if imagine they lose that. Oh my god, gosh, the fans are gonna lose it.
A funny stat here, thanks via Reddit Soccer. So it's talking about Arsene Wenger, and during his 22 seasons in charge of Arsenal, he never finished with less than 63 points. The maximum amount of points that Arsenal can get this season is 61. Now, of course, squad level has dropped significantly since Wenger's days, even towards the end of his tenure, but it just shows where Arsenal were and where they are now. And
this is them having to win the rest of their games.
Mm-hmm.
That probably won't happen, I gotta say.
So it'll be important for Arsenal to do well in the Europa League, or they're just gonna have nothing from this season.
Could you imagine if they finish like 10th place and they get Champions League somehow?
I mean, that'd be kind of funny, but...
I mean,
it's funny because if there's any chance of Fulham getting promoted, I need Arsenal win because Arsenal still play Newcastle,
actually, no,
West Brom, Brighton.
If Arsenal somehow get into the Champions League because they win the Europa League, I feel like it's like a big fuck you to West Ham or something. Like, sorry guys, should have won the Europa League. We're not even in the Europa League. And next season, though, West Ham could be in the Europa League.
Yeah, but let's talk about Liverpool, Newcastle quickly. Usually I watch Liverpool games, but with what happened in the Europa League, the Super League fallout and stuff like that, obviously I'm not happy with the Liverpool owners, and I felt less passion to watch Liverpool recently, and I decided not to watch this one, which is not something I usually do at all by choice, but I'm not really, I don't know, I just don't feel as much passion watching
Liverpool as I once did. Not in a good state of mind.
Yeah. But Liverpool did draw Newcastle 1-1. Liverpool were up 1-0 for the most part. Newcastle scored late, but it was disallowed, I believe. Or no, it wasn't that. It was like a penalty that wasn't allowed or something like that. But then Newcastle scored late. Joe Willock once again. And Greg, not too happy.
Lucas, you know, I find funny. Looks like there's been a few stinky results here for these so-called Super League clubs.
Yeah, well,
true.
It's kind of funny.
You're not wrong. The only one that's been good, I mean, Leicester had a good one on Thursday against West Brom.
Yeah, but they're not a Super League club.
Oh, right. Sorry.
So.
Yeah. Who had a good result? I guess Man City had a good result.
That's about it. And Chelsea. But
And Burnley.
And Chelsea.
They're Super League quality.
I mean, Chris Wood might be.
How do you feel about that result?
Scored a hat trick. I don't know. Because we're probably getting relegated anyways, but if we have any chance, Burnley was the team to catch. And I wake up and I see that Burnley beat Wolves 4-0 away. And I was like, okay, I don't get this league anymore. I'm done. Send us back to the championship.
Please.
Yeah, you're 7 points behind football. 17th. 7 points behind 17th, Greg. To a Brighton side who did lose 1-0 to Sheffield United, even though Brighton probably shouldn't have lost this game, apparently.
Yeah.
it's a bit of a wild ride.
That team just cannot score, I gotta say. They look so good, and they just cannot score.
If they get like a Tammy Abraham or something of a decent caliber goal scorer, they'll be a mid-table team for sure. I mean, of course, they're likely not going to get relegated. 7 points difference between them and Fulham, unfortunately for you, Greg, but it's how the cookie crumbles. And for Aston Villa and West Brom, it finished 2-2, and the cookie crumbled where Keenan Davis scored in the last minute to draw the game.
Yeah.
I watched a different match during this time, but, you know, a bit gutting for West Brom, although their chances of staying up were small already. It's still really small.
I mean, they had two good wins before the Leicester game, and then they got smacked by Leicester. I'm sure that kind of dropped their confidence a bit, but yeah.
Of course.
Them drawing there, that probably puts them in to get relegated with Fulham, but mm-hmm. We can always pray.
But you do play Chelsea next weekend. Also next weekend is the Manchester United versus Liverpool. I was about to say Manchester Derby there, and that is completely wrong. So some decent matches there for the clubs we support, although we'll see what we might do a live stream for one or two of the games this weekend. We'll see, but for sure, the Champions League this week too. But if we keep talking about champion, that word, well, let's talk about the championship, because we pretty much know what's going to be set up for the Premier League next season for the most part.
Congrats to Norwich and Watford.
You're back. Congrats.
They're coming straight back, and it is definitely deserved from those two clubs. They've been having great seasons in the championship.
Is Bournemouth also going to come back?
It'll be very interesting if they win the playoffs and all three teams come right back up. First time in history, so.
Yeah. It's kind of boring. Kind of cool.
It's like it's cool, but yeah. I agree, it's boring. It's bring in some other teams.
Yeah, but the playoffs will be Brentford, Bournemouth, Swansea, and Barnsley. We don't know who's playing who, what order it's going to be, because those four clubs are separated by 1 point, because Brentford has 78.
Yeah, they're still fighting to see who plays who. I gotta say, I think those three teams aren't all trying to get Barnsley first.
Dude, Barnsley are...
No disrespect to Barnsley. I have no disrespect. I completely respect the club for considering they came that only up from the League One
last season.
2 years ago?
No, last season was their first.
Last year?
Yeah.
Whatever year it was.
Because I remember they beat Fulham on the first day of the season.
Shut up! anyways. Yeah, no, it's you guys are doing fantastic. If you can go up to the Prem, it's awesome. Like, it's going to be very difficult for you to stay up, but...
Yeah, Barnsley, I know they have DK who's on loan from Orlando City, and he's been tearing it up recently.
Nice.
But they also have a coach who was a coach of, I believe, LASK in the Austrian League last year, but he ended up leaving the club because that side brought in another coach. But there was a point where he had his team in first place ahead of RB Salzburg.
But oh, wow.
He got let go, got replaced by another guy at the end of the season because when COVID hit, they got a points reduction due to trading at an illegal time. But he ended up at Barnsley, and look at how well it's going for them. But Swansea has a good coach.
It's inspirational.
Bournemouth, of course, they sacked their coach earlier in the season. And Brentford, they're probably the favorite, but can they overcome the playoff final again? We'll see.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good time to move on to some action from today. Something sure. That has just finished a little over an hour ago, and a game I watched, I really enjoyed. Lille versus Lyon. This was a huge decider in the title race. Because 4 teams have been involved in this title race before this game. So before Lille and Lyon got into this game, PSG were in first place with 72. PSG were first with 72. Monaco were second with 71 points. Lille were in third at the time with 70 points, while Lyon were in fourth with 67. So it was so tight at the top. And it started fantastically for Lyon. They were up 2-0. There was a goal by Slimani, who missed an easy chance a few minutes before that.
Wow. But,
and also an own goal by Jose Font because Mike Maignan and Botman crashed into each other while going for the ball from a corner kick or a free kick, I think. And it hit Jose Font and went into the back of the net. And it was looking doom and gloom for Lille, who I thought were playing all right. But then, 45th minute, there was a free kick for Lille. And up steps the big man, Burak Yılmaz. And he bangs it into the back of the net. Such a great goal. 2-1 into halftime. Now the team step up onto the pitch. And, well, Lyon have a player named Lucas Paqueta, former AC Milan player. He's had a great season for them this year. But today was not a day where he had a good game as he makes a terrible back pass. Sends Burak Yılmaz open on the left-hand side of the pitch. He passes it across to Jonathan David, who taps it in to tie it 2-2. All square.
Canadian.
Let's go. Yes, Jonathan David up the Canadian. But there's still time left. And in the 85th minute, Burak Yılmaz gets sent in behind. A knotted header from Yazici. Yılmaz, one-on-one with a keeper. He has ice in his veins, chips it over him, wins the game. Lille go back to first place in Ligue 1. With a 3-2 victory. An incredible result.
Burak Yılmaz.
This man is 35 years old.
And he's 35?
Yeah.
He's killing it.
I didn't know he was that old.
Bro, he is insane.
I was sad when when he didn't get picked for the community FIFA team this season. I'm like, this community sucks. Burak Yılmaz deserved to be in there, man. Anyways.
He's been in fantastic form. Hopefully he can keep it up towards the Euros, and maybe Turkey can be a dark horse for the Euros.
Yeah. But,
man, some are saying, don't call him Burak Yılmaz. Call him Burak Yılmaz.
Jesus Christ. It's funny, though.
But it's very good. Because the thing is, imagine if Lyon won this game. Like, how close it all still would have been.
It would be 72 for PSG, 71 for Monaco, and then 70 for both Lille and Lyon.
Yeah, it'd be so tight still for the title race. And it's... Are there any more games where they play each other? Any of these teams play each other?
No, but... Well, I don't think so. Maybe Lyon play Monaco. That might be a game. Let me just double... Lyon play Monaco next weekend, which will be
That's a massive game to try and get into the Champions League qualifiers.
Yeah. And also... Lille play their rivals Lens, who were just promoted very soon. Not sure if it's next week or the week after. Yeah, it's next week as well, on the Friday. And Lens is their rivals. Lens just got promoted. Lens are in fifth place.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And Lens awesome. Also play PSG later on in season two. So there could be some twists and turns in this title race. And I'm very excited to see what happens.
Ligue 1.
But
it's been good. It's been a very good year. It's exciting that PSG aren't just throttling everyone.
Yeah. I really hope Lille do get a Champions League spot at least, because just so they can keep some of their players. I know they're probably going to have to sell some in the summer, but yeah, we'll see what happens there. But
they'd be a fun team to watch in the Champions League, that's for sure.
Yeah. But moving on to La Liga, there's a big game at the same time as that Lille game. I didn't get to catch it, but Athletic Club Bilbao, or Athletic Bilbao, they defeated Atletico Madrid 2-1 with a late header by, who was it?
Yeah.
Inigo Martinez. And that...
I remember that name.
I mean, he used to play for Real Sociedad.
Atletico Madrid have bottled it again. Yeah. They bottled it.
Yeah, as Barcelona got a victory over Villarreal 2-1, and Real Madrid drew Betis 0-0, the table is looking like this.
Mm-hmm.
Atletico Madrid still first place with 73 points. Real Madrid still second place with 71. But Barcelona are tied with Real Madrid with 71 points, but they have a game in hand. A win there, they move to first place. And who are they playing in that game in hand? Granada.
Lucas, I still want Sevilla just to come in and win the title. I gotta say.
I mean, still
possible. They're right there.
They're in the mix.
They're right there.
I mean, Sevilla got a big win over Granada of 2-1. If we look at their schedules, I mean, Atletico Madrid play Elche next weekend. Barca have Granada, and then they play Valencia on Sunday. Sevilla play Athletic Bilbao, so that's a tough game there. And Real Madrid play Osasuna. Very tight matches going there. Yeah. So if you're not paying attention to the Liga and title race, you're like, not for me. Why not check out La Liga?
Pay attention to La Liga.
I'm saying like almost every league right now has a title race, except for the Premier League and maybe Bundesliga.
Yeah, I mean, we can quickly...
Serie A. I think Inter's got it too, though.
Yeah, let's quickly go over Serie A here, because Inter Milan, yeah, they're 11 points ahead of Atalanta, who are now in second place, which, well, for now, AC Milan still have a game in hand. But the big news was Juventus, Mr. Super League Juventus, Mr. Oh, we want to go into a European competition. Oh, but we can't beat teams in Serie A right now. They drew Fiorentina 1-1.
That's just funny.
I'm not making fun of Juventus fans. I'm just making fun of Agnelli. I'm not a big
Agnelli.
Fan of him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 1-1 draw there for Juventus. There's some good Serie A matches from the last few days I want to check out. I know Atalanta tied Roma on Thursday 1-1. Napoli defeated Lazio 5-2 on Thursday. Atalanta won 5-0 today. Roma was in a crazy match where they lost to Cagliari 3-2.
Yeah.
And that means Cagliari is out of the relegation zone. Inter Milan, of course, got a win over Hellas Verona 1-0. So
Inter, it's good to see that Inter is, like we've been saying, they're cruising to a title victory after so long of Juventus just winning it all the time, especially when they got knocked out of the Champions League.
Yeah. So we'll congratulate Inter Milan when it becomes official. We'll get the hot sauce or whatever it is for Liam whenever we get together.
Glamburn.
It's what, one more? I think a draw? A draw, and they have it, I think?
Doing my quick maths, 5 games in hand, that's 15-point difference.
That's awesome, though.
Well, no.
If they stick out with goal differential, all they need is a draw. Yeah. But yeah. One win. One win, and they have it. That's all their next match.
Yeah. Inter win their next match.
So
hot sauce for Liam.
Yeah.
Eventually. But there's still Lazio versus AC Milan tomorrow, which has huge Champions League implications. Napoli need to defeat Torino tomorrow as well to potentially get level with Juventus.
Imagine Juventus just...
I would love it. Not because of Juventus fans. No. I respect Juventus fans, but just seeing Agnelli miss out on the Champions League.
It would just be so funny. Just them winning the title all the time and then just not even getting knocked out in the round of 16 in the Champions League.
Yeah,
it would be funny.
Let's make a Super League. We can't even qualify for Champions League.
Literally.
Super League will give us the money to play in Champions League. You can't be in Champions League. It's just so funny. It's just, you guys, these owners are just so dumb.
But let's quickly go through the Bundesliga. I mean, Bundesliga is done for the most part in most places. Of course, Schalke, they got relegated this past Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah. For all the memes we gave them, we do feel sorry for the supporters. There was like people in tears. So
It is a sad time. It's depressing. I gotta say, it's funny, but it's bad too. Like, it's such a big club to get relegated, and it is sad. And what the fans were doing to the players and everything, there's no need for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many places you have to blame within Schalke. You can blame some of the players for not performing to their best of their abilities or just being crap. You can blame the management who misran the club and now have them in huge debt going into the second Bundesliga. You can, and even firing multiple coaches in a season. Yeah. A minus 58 goal differential, though. Like, the closest to that is minus 28. Like,
yeah.
That's more than double. And
that's not good.
We feel bad for Schalke, but hopefully they can rebuild themselves in the second tier. Some clubs have done that before, Stuttgart, of course, but there's still legendary clubs that have been relegated and never have come back yet. Hamburg, who were relegated a couple years ago, haven't come back just yet. Kaiserslautern, they were a historical club. 1860 Munich. So,
I think this week has shown me how passionate European football supporters can be. Schalke supporters storming, like, just insane how, you know, passionate they are. The whole riots going on with the Super League. You know, you compare them to North American sports fans, it's nothing. I mean, you know, if a team in North America gets bottom place in their league multiple years in a row, you don't see any riots. Now, no one going to the team's offices or the dressing room. Because
you get a draft, you get a good draft pick.
At the same time, I'm like, I know I'm big into ice hockey, not everyone who listens to this. Edmonton Oilers, my team, we were shit for like six seasons. And you didn't see anyone storming the front offices as much as people on Twitter said they would.
European fans say they will.
Yeah, they will. They will get they'll get the flares, they'll get the banners.
Because to a lot of people, more football passion. Clubs is everything to them. And when people,
it's more passion, yeah.
It's like it's a religion, so.
Yeah, but also with bad notes is Hertha Berlin. They do have three games in hand with the teams above them, but they've had COVID problems and they're going to have to play a bunch of matches in like a few amount of days. Like they play Monday, Thursday, and then Sunday. So it's going to be tough for them. They're currently in 17th. They have a lot of money invested into their team. And if they go down, that's going to be a disaster for them, especially with a potential new stadium coming. But let's talk about the top because, of course, Bayern, they did lose to Mainz, but Lewandowski scored, so Bayern still win in the end, in their hearts, which means Lewandowski is only four goals, I don't know why I put up eight, four goals away from tying the record by Gerd Müller from the 70s.
Three games, four goals. Can he do it?
Can he even break the record?
I feel like he can, yeah. I think he might.
It's tough, but
I'm not too sure, but
well, let's look at the matches they have. They have Borussia Mönchengladbach, who have been mixed since the announcement of Marco Rosa leaving the club at the end of the season. Then they have Freiburg, who can give a good game. I've seen them challenge Bayern before, but in the last game of the season, it's Augsburg. So it's a possibility Lewandowski could score a hat-trick in a game like that, but we'll wait and see.
Yep.
Hopefully he can.
Especially because Bayern will want a bounce-back game, too.
Yeah. I mean, they've won the league, Greg. They've won the league.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I'm sure the boys want to do it for Lewandowski, too. Just give him the ball all the time. You have an empty net, you're passing it.
Of course, going through the other results quickly, as there was some big talking points. The race for the Champions League race. People talk about, where's Haaland going? Borussia Dortmund's director saying Haaland's not going anywhere. Well, they should try to get to the Champions League the best they can, so they can, you know, continue investing in the squad and stuff like that. Well, they get a big
win. If they don't make Champions League, Lucas, do you think he's staying?
I know
he doesn't want to.
It's so hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know, Greg.
Just due to the finances of everything, I think it's hard to say.
But Dortmund, though, against one of their Champions League rivals for the season. They defeated Wolfsburg 2-0.
That's good.
Brace from Haaland, so he obviously isn't giving up on Dortmund, as he shouldn't. And Frankfurt. Week. Frankfurt lost to Leverkusen 3-1.
That's great.
So that means the table is like this. 57 points for Wolfsburg, 56 for Frankfurt, 55 for Dortmund, and 50 for Leverkusen.
It's a crazy race, honestly.
So I think Dortmund can do it, but of course Dortmund do have a tough schedule. They have Leipzig, they have Mainz, and they have Leverkusen to finish off the season. Wolfsburg have Union Berlin, they have RB Leipzig, and they have Mainz. And Frankfurt, they have Mainz, they have Schalke, and they have Freiburg.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a close race. The thing is,
with Frankfurt, it was announced that their manager is going to Borussia Mönchengladbach at the end of the season. So,
oh, Jesus.
We'll see how things go there. My prediction is that Dortmund will finish in the top four, despite their tough schedule coming up, and I think Wolfsburg will finish fourth. And I think Frankfurt will miss out.
That's fair. That's a good prediction. I don't really have any. I hope Dortmund get Champions League. I hope Haaland stays with Dortmund. As simple as that.
Yeah. Okay, well, the Super League, it was announced this week that it was going to happen. We had a podcast all about it, us being really sad. Then, a few days later, it was all off. Now, there are some clubs that are saying it's still going to happen. It's inevitable. I'm like, inevitable?
It's inevitable.
Yes, I.
This guy hasn't watched Avengers.
Obviously not. But so far, like Real Madrid, Juventus, AC Milan, and Barcelona are hanging on to this idea, while all the other clubs have left. We're not gonna go into all the details. I think it's something really annoying, like this Super League stuff. But what we can talk about is our thoughts and what needs to happen. So. You guys want to get your thoughts? Let it out.
I would like to see everything stay the same. I would not like to. I don't want Super League. I don't want a new Champions League format. As I think Ilkay Gundogan put it, there's no need. Like, footballers play so much football already. They're not robots. They're humans. You know, a lot of football takes a toll on the body. It makes them fatigue. So, that's all I can say. I'm happy the Super League has been put on a pause for now, it seems. That all these English clubs, they formally left. Formally. Nothing's official. I think people need to understand that. I'm not a big fan of these American owners. No one is. If you are a fan of football, there's maybe a small minority that actually thinks it's a good idea. And those are probably the same Real Madrid supporters, by the way. They probably booed Ronaldo. So... that's all I can say.
I think Waz said it pretty perfectly. Of course I don't want Super League. The Champions League format, the new one, it is a lot of football. Like exactly what Waz is saying. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. It sums it up. Gundogan said it perfectly.
If we're gonna build a Super League, okay, let's put in a draft, put in the salary cap as well. Make it kind of more interesting, because what it sounds is pretty boring. And Florentino Perez, I don't even know how I'm pronouncing it, Florentino. Apparently, young football fans don't watch football. 16 to 24-year-olds, they don't have any interest in football. No, what do you know about young football? You know money, good job, but what do you know about, you know, football fans? Yeah, that's all I can say.
Yeah, my final thoughts is... with the fans, especially those that are living close to where the clubs are, you have a voice. Whether on social media, whether you live by the ground or in the city, you have a voice, and we can push things. We can push things. We can make a change, and let's not stop here. We have to keep going. We have to make sure that things at the top get fixed. Whether that's a UEFA, FIFA, the Premier League, things need to change. Ticket prices can't go up.
Yeah.
No Champions League reform. We don't need to have teams to qualify based on merit. We need to make sure that football all around Europe is sustainable and is able to provide a bunch of entertainment to a bunch of people. And we can't just let everything soar to the top. People, fans need to get involved with their club. They need to have a say as well. People talk about 50 plus one rule. I don't know if that's possible outside of Germany right now, but I'm not smart enough to know every ins and outs about that. But like I'm saying, just we need to push and try to make a change. Right. Well, let's move on to the Champions League, I guess. Cool. It is the semifinals coming up this Tuesday. Like we said earlier, we'll be live streaming our watch along for Twitch on this. But Real Madrid, they play Chelsea on Tuesday. PSG play Manchester City on Wednesday. It's a very tight match. I think both matches can go either way. I think both teams match against each other pretty well. So I would say so. I'm interested to see what happens.
I think lots of people would agree. Any of these four teams have a pretty good chance at winning it this year, in all honesty.
The thing is, unfortunately, a lot of people are crying also that, Real Madrid should be on. They shouldn't be here. They should be suspended. Yeah, probably, but at the end of the day, they're playing. The football is still happening, and you just got to accept that right now.
Yeah, but...
No, you don't have to accept, you know what I mean? Like, it's happening, okay? Like, it hasn't been canceled, so... We're going to enjoy it. We're going to enjoy the football. It's still Champions League football. Let's enjoy it while it lasts.
We're hoping for some good games. Mm-hmm. Some exciting games. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll make predictions on the day in our live stream, but... No, what's your prediction right now?
I'm confident that Chelsea will go through to the final. They've been very consistent. They've been keeping clean sheets. They're finding ways to win. That's not to say Real Madrid's a poor opponent. I think it's going to be an even game. My money's on Chelsea.
I don't know. It's so hard to call. I think I have Man City against Chelsea, but I could very easily see Real Madrid winning that game too. So,
I see Real Madrid and PSG making the final.
I go Chelsea, PSG. I think PSG will beat City. And that's something against like Manchester City. I think PSG really... Both these teams want to go to the final very badly, obviously.
We also can't forget...
Sorry, what?
Hashtag Nayday this Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly. I just see this fire in PSG right now after the loss to Bayern last year. They just want to get back to the final and take back what they really wanted. Not take back, but just claim what they wanted.
City are going to have to play so good defensively against PSG if they want to win this game. Like they're going to have to shut Mbappe and Neymar down. And it's going to be very difficult for them, but we'll see.
And what is your Europa League final predictions? Just as of now, things can change within the next week or two because it's Manchester United versus Roma and Villarreal
versus Manchester United.
That's probably what I'm thinking as well.
Yeah.
Am I confident we can beat Villarreal? Not so much. They're very good right now. Roma, I don't know too much about Roma, how they've been playing this season, but I'll put my confidence in United to find a way in.
Roma have been doing poorly in the league. I do think Manchester United will edge this one slightly. I think Roma will give them a good game, but I think it will be a Manchester United versus Villarreal final as well.
That's good, man.
So Matt, who do you have going through to the finals in the Champions League and the Europa League?
Who do I want to, or who do I think?
Think.
I don't give a shit about thinking. I want Man City to go through, and I think they can. So I'm gonna say Man City, and the Chelsea Madrid one's honestly tight.
Yeah, it's very tight. Both are tight, honestly. That's the thing.
I don't know. Whatever, I think Madrid is slipping, which they are still. They somehow win games. I don't know. Not in the league, but somehow manage to win a game. So maybe, but I'm going to go with Chelsea. I'm going to say Chelsea.
Man,
say
Chelsea. You're agreeing with Waz
with an all-English final?
That's what I said.
Oh, never mind.
Bad Lucas.
Yeah, Lucas, pay attention, man.
Yeah, sorry, man.
And Europa League?
Fuck, we might have an all-English affair, you know.
Arsenal are playing Unai Emery.
Never mind. Yeah, Villarreal is going through. I double back. That man knows how to win a Europa League. Honestly, I think Roma could surprise Man United.
You know? They shouldn't take them for granted, that's for sure.
I think it can happen. Roma haven't done too well in the league, but like in the Europa League, they've been doing a good job.
I'm gonna say.
So is Manchester United. To be fair,
I'm gonna say Roma and Villarreal. Cause
I like it. Man
United's always good for a fucking choke. So <He's>, you know it's true. You can't say anything about it.
Well, I think that sums up our predictions for the European competitions for the two ties or for the two legs. But let's move on to questions and let's answer some YouTube questions and any other questions we might have.
Who's the greater German goalkeeper? Lehmann, Oliver Kahn, or Manuel Neuer?
I wrote Kahn.
Fuck, dude, this is a harder question than you think. Lehmann is obviously good. But
I mean, Manuel's top 10, but
I think it really boils down to two, and I genuinely think Manuel Neuer throughout his career has been a better goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But I fucking love Oliver Kahn.
Kahn's he's a different animal, dude.
I wasn't even a Bayern fan back then. The same way I like him now, or I respect him now. And I was tearing up when that man retired, dude, because that man's a legend. Absolute icon, that guy. But I think technically speaking, Manuel Neuer is a better goalkeeper.
Is the better goalkeeper, but yeah.
I think Neuer revolutionized. I think Neuer had a bigger influence because
his ball playing ability. He changed the goalkeeping
position. He might be one of the best.
I don't know, man. Oliver Kahn was a pretty big deal back then.
Oh, he was.
Oliver Kahn.
But, like, Neuer.
Absolutely no doubt.
Neuer. He what he brought to the table for goalkeepers is something no goalkeeper before has done as well as him. He was nominated for a Ballon d'Or, which is...
Manuel Neuer is... Honestly, and it'll become more evident after he retires, aside from maybe Lev Yashin, might be the greatest goalkeeper of all time.
Buffon.
Yeah.
I genuinely think Manuel
Neuer. I think Neuer's better. I think Neuer's just
it's,
one of the
it's
best.
It's tough, but this guy revolutionized the position. He has a World Cup. He's won damn near everything. He has multiple trebles. The only down he's had in his career, because even when Germany went out, he was still good. Mm-hmm. The only down he's had in his career was when he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
And that's injury.
People were downing him back then when he was injured. And look at him. He's now the best goalkeeper in the world again.
He's back. I honestly think when the dust settles, this guy's going to be, if not one, two of best goalkeepers of all time.
Yeah.
It has to be him.
Top three.
Yeah, at least. So
I'm going to go for him. I agree 100%.
Big respects to Oliver Kahn, though, man. Mm-hmm. Don't want you screaming at me. So
yeah.
Big love.
And, I mean, Lehmann, you got a red card in the Champions League final.
How will the Prem work after these team so basically after the Super League, how will the Prem work? That's just the question. Like, how do you think it's gonna happen with after the Super League?
I don't think they can afford to take those teams out. I don't think they will. That's a hard one, you know. I honestly don't think they're going to relegate any of those teams.
They won't. I don't see it. I don't see a relegation. Point deduction at most.
Yeah. That's.
But even then, I don't even know if they will do it.
Yeah. And I think what needs to be done is, obviously fines aren't enough, but I think whether it's government intervention, the Premier League or whatever, they need to find out how to get fans more involved with the decision making of the club, or a fan representative. I don't think we're the best people to answer that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is the best team to get relegated? Like, so maybe not like a big team like Manchester City kind of thing, but like who was the best squad that actually got relegated?
Juventus?
Juventus in 06 is probably.
Yeah, but I mean,
I
don't know if that counts.
Yeah. I mean, it counts, technically.
Man, that's tough to say, because usually when a team gets relegated, I totally forget. I forget about them. Mm-hmm. They're that bad. They just kind of.
Fulham 2020, 21.
No, you guys are shit. I'm sorry, man. Sheffield United, maybe? Wow. In a sense? I mean, they were pretty good last season, and then all of a sudden.
Well, they were, but they had a crap season though, and their players on paper aren't.
Well, typically, when you get relegated, it is a crap season.
Usually, it's like when you get relegated, it's like you got relegated because all the teams above you.
Maybe Fulham. Maybe Fulham can be up there, but that's kind of just talking.
No, I'm joking.
I remember Köln. They were in the Europa League one season. Yeah. They got relegated the next season. Oh, they got relegated in that season. Same thing with Espanyol last season, I think.
Wow.
I've got a good one. Villarreal. Was it 2011, 2012 season?
Yeah. Damn. I kind of looked to find some ones. And yeah, Villarreal 2011, 2012. They were in the Champions League that season.
Wasn't Santi on that team? Wasn't Cazorla on that team?
No, I think he was at Mallorca at the time.
What was that one Spaniard's name? Was even Spanish. Marco Senna. Was he on that team?
Yeah. He played for Deportivo La Coruña, I think.
Yeah, but he played for Villarreal.
Yeah, he did too. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Anyways, that team was a really good team. They were in the Champions League that year.
I read somewhere that River Plate were relegated in 2010, and if a club like River Plate gets relegated, then yeah.
It's a pretty big one, yeah.
River Plate's 1-2 in Argentina, though.
That's from the Q&A section on TikTok. So if anyone actually has any questions, just send it to...
Don't send it to me.
The Q&A thing on TikTok, yeah. It's in our
or
bio.
In the comments on YouTube.
Yeah, sorry about that. There's a question from Koners. Are the glory days of the Dutch national team over? In my opinion, they only have gone downhill after the 2014 World Cup.
Football's a cycle, man.
That's a good way of putting it. It's a cycle. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's over, no. I think the Dutch have some great players going through. I think they've had some managerial issues. They've kind of gone through a transition period, I think, if anything. You know, they had the likes of Robin, Van Persie, Huntelaar kind of start to retire. Now they have Depay, Van Dijk. A few other players starting to come through we can name probably, so I think they'll be back. Yeah. Are they going to win a trophy? It's hard to say with the injuries they've had recently, with Van Dijk.
I mean, they don't have the best manager in charge right now, but they do have a bunch of young talent coming through that are very promising and could potentially be mainstays in the team for years to come.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this year I don't think they're going to have much success due to their manager and just the injuries that some of their players have gotten, but...
Never know. They can still come out and win. That's the thing. That's the thing with international tournaments. It always can happen.
This is a question directed to Rasta. This is a funny question.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Will Rasta ever get drunk enough to wear a Real Madrid jersey kit during a stream or career mode episode?
No. No. The answer to the question is definitely just no. No. It's not possible, that one. Sorry.
Who do you think would win? Guardiola's Barca or Sochi's Milan? I think this question is better suited for Lucas. He knows everything.
Well, it's a tough one because my knowledge on Sochi's AC Milan is not as good. I know that they won the Champions League against Johan Cruyff's Barcelona in... No, wait. Yeah. That might have been Capello's Milan, actually. So, I know Sochi's revolutionized Italian football at the time, and...
I'm not asking this question because everyone knows what my answer is
going to
be.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
I think the easy answer is going to be that Barca team because those two Barca teams, 09, 11, they are rated by many as the greatest teams of all time, the greatest European teams. I don't know which one. It's 11 or 09. I think everyone says it's 2011 that was the best team of all time. So it's tough to say. Or they're at least top three, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to look into it more about AC Milan, but my answer would be probably Barcelona, that one of those Barcelona sides right now. I mean, just two of the best midfielders of all time, one of the best players of all time on the team. Great back line, fantastic manager.
They were just great.
I think it's more so easy to say Barca because of recency bias, right? Yeah.
No, 100%. Like, we know more about it.
Yeah. That Barca team was stacked, though.
It's hard to say.
They were good all over the
place. I think in 2012, Messi set a record that's probably not going to be broken forever.
That's hard to say. It's hard to say that now.
91 goals in a calendar year?
Yeah, it's hard. I know. I know, dude. I fucking know, but it's hard to say, okay? You never know.
Yeah, if they put like 82 games in the Super League.
20 years from now. You never know. literal football Jesus could show up in 20 years.
You know, I found a funny comments actually the other day, or earlier in the week due to the Super League, and people were like, oh, if the Super League happens, kids in 50 years would be like, Ronaldo, Messi played against farmers because they didn't play in the Super League long enough.
Who knows? Maybe.
Oh boy, let's not even get into that.
I mean, kids are stupid, so it's plausible. Like, I don't disagree with you.
Do we want to?
Let's just finish it off there. I think that's enough questions answered. We can answer more in a future week, of course. But thank you to everyone who has come to the podcast today, listened through this port. Like, thank you so much.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, from all of us tonight, thank you for making this fun of the podcast. Thank you for your time. If you like, hopefully you like, subscribe, share with your friends. I should have said that at the beginning, but Liam is better than, you know, at this than me. So, you know, yeah, wherever Liam is, we're thinking about him. He's in our heart, and he's, you know, he says thank you as well. He's not dead, but it kind of made him sound like he died.
Oh,
what?
God.
What?
With that, it's been a week of the beautiful game. Peace. Peace and love.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Liam's cutting his meat.
Oh, my God.